Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, today we begin our discussion of our final book in our Summer of Classics series, The Holy Bible. Now, I will for a time focus on the Authorized King James Bible. It is unique in its translation, it's unique in its printing, and the history leading up to why it was printed is just absolutely fascinating. But still, overall, in these next four programs that we're going to do, we're going to be basically talking about the Bible, and that is the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament. Now, you will better understand what I'm talking about as we progress through this four-part series, so I just encourage you to stay with me. But before we get into all that, I do have a great comment on 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and I want to read this to you. So he says, "Hello, JBL. It has been some time since I've written, but I am still listening. I have some opinions on Jules Verne, so I will just get right into it. As a sci-fi writer, Jules Verne was a secular prophet." Now, I really like that idea, and I think he's really right on. "He was trying to look into the future. Science was advancing into the observable world, and with many inventions, I think he was trying to say that human nature was not capable of changing or keeping up with these advances. Certainly, Captain Nemo was a despot, thinking he had the better way. But in all his luxuries, there was no freedom on board the Nautilus." And, of course, he's referring to what happens with Monsieur Aronnax and, of course, his trusty companion Conseil and Ned. "It looks to me like he must have studied some of Genesis in the garden and saw a fall. And also he could have read Revelation, where Satan descends into a black hole in the end. Regardless, man's great discoveries never will lead to a better world without the changing of man's character." So Mr. Derry Hope brought up in our certainly our talks on the book that it does really 20,000 Leagues really does have a lot to do with human nature. And also that if we're going to really have a successful world, we have to overcome our human nature. Okay, let's get back into today's program. In previous programs, I have mentioned the Western literary canon. Now, basically, what that is, it's just a list of books that, let's say, university and college English language literature professors or instructors, librarians, well, your top book critics and publishers, they believe that every very well-educated person should read or at least know about the books on this list. Now, it is a list that some consider to be made up of just the best literature. Now, that's where I actually took the title for the program. But actually, I wouldn't necessarily recommend everybody read some of the books on this list. I mean, this again, it's really a very fluid list. It's what some people believe is good. Some of the literature on there I don't think is worth reading. But that's my personal opinion. Now, the Western canon is extensive, and there really are several different versions. That's actually one of the problems with it, because I can make up my own list of Western canon. You can make up your own list, and there are some people that are doing that. They just make up their own list. I think there are some top actresses will just make up their own list, and you read these books. But anyway, Harold Bloom, who used to be a Yale professor of English language literature, he has a list that he published in the year 2000. He published a book that really kind of was very popular and really kind of rocked the higher education world. His list has over 2,500 books on it. Now, he even admits it would take more than one lifetime to try and read 2,500 books on this list. Well, Bloom, he's now 86. He's certainly a very well-respected book critic. He's still writing. He's in the process of just publishing a new book. And he refers to these books as survivors. And so on this Western canon, or the Western canon literary list, books can appear and then they can fall off the list. But I do think it's interesting that he lists the Bible. And now when I talk about the Bible, I'm talking about, you know, more of the Christian version, which is both made up of the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament. He lists that as the third most important book on the canon. Now, I think that's remarkable. It's a survivor. If you look at the Western canon lists that are on the internet today, it's still at the top. He had an associate. Now, I don't know how well they knew each other, but Professor James Bowers of the University of Nevada. He's also a very well-known professor of English literature. He lists the Bible at the top of the list, if not first on the list. And I think that is really remarkable because it is a survivor. The Bible is probably one of the most important books ever published and ever written in Western society. It's affected all levels of society. It's affected government. It's affected freedoms we enjoy given by constitutions. It speaks out on so many issues, social issues, and it speaks about law and morality, the things that make nations great. But of course, these two men, they just see the Bible as primarily a piece of great literature, which I admit it is. It really is a piece of great literature. You can find all kinds of different, you know, kinds of literature in the Bible. You can find prose, you can find poetry. But here at KPCG, we just want you to know that we feel the Bible is far more important than just a piece of literature. We know it to be the Word of God, and that's very important to know. Now, not many people today will necessarily agree with us, and what's to even maybe the greater paradox, there's some people claiming to be Christian don't even agree with that. Now, Harold Bloom has written numbers of books on the Bible, and he does... I think he does reveal some facts. For example, he believes that William Shakespeare actually took some of the ideas for his famous play King Lear. He believes he took it from the Book of Job. And as we go through these programs, I'll show you that many of the phrases we use in our language come right out of the Bible. And so he's talked about some things like that. And he still believes the Bible is a very important book. But I don't think Harold Bloom would necessarily say he believes it's the Word of God. He does believe it's just the work of men. So for today's program, this first program on our series, I wanted just to begin our discussion of the Authorized King James Bible by looking at some of the facts just about the Bible and Bible reading. And then what we'll do is we'll move on to why the Authorized King James Bible is so important. But here's the first point about the Bible that might surprise people. Maybe it wouldn't surprise people. But the Bible is the world's best-selling book of nonfiction. And that might really surprise you. And I'm going to continue to give you a few facts here that will show you that even some of the most popular books today, let's say, for example, the Harry Potter books, they can't even compete with the number of Bibles that have been sold. So I want to give you some figures now why the Bible is the world's best-selling book. And there are many people would definitely agree with this. Now, it is nearly impossible to obtain all the exact figures, and I'm going to read you from several different sources. But here's the next series of facts actually all come from Guinness. And then I'm going to take you into a few other ones. Now, the Bible Society itself has concluded that around 2.5 billion copies were printed, and this is of the Bible, from 1815 to 1975. Okay, so that's 2.5 billion copies. Okay, now, more current estimates, according to Guinness, more current estimates put the number at 5 billion. So that's a lot of copies of one book. It's still the best-selling book. Okay. So by the end of 1995, the global sales of one version of the book, and this version is today's English version, or it's sometimes called the Good News version of the New Testament and Bible, has exceeded 17.75 million copies. So now you can start adding these up. This is after 1975. So start if you're a good mathematician, you can keep adding it up. But it's interesting. The whole Bible, according to Guinness, has been translated into 349 languages. So it's more than just an English book. It's got at least 349 other languages that have the Bible. Now, here's another statistic. At least one book of the Bible has been translated into 2,123 languages. Now, that's a lot of languages in this world. So the Bible is, again, it's the world's best-selling book, not just American or not just Canadian or not just British. It's the world's book. Now, again, as I said before, all these figures were obtained from Guinness World Records. But in terms of the whole Bible being translated, there is another source that does say it's been translated into 636 languages. Now, to me, these are all really amazing facts. And but one thing that you might find interesting, and I challenge you to do this, go look on the bestseller list, like the New York Times bestseller list, and see if the Bible's at the top of the list. You won't find it there. And here's the reason why. And this is an article that I thought was really, really kind of fascinating. And the title of the article is Why the Bible is the True Bestseller and Why You Don't See It on the Bestseller List. Now listen to this. It says, the annual sales figures for the Bible are so high, averaging between 425 million and 650 million repeatedly year after year, that it dwarfs the sales of all other books. The best any other book can hope for is second place, and a very distant second place at that. And so when you look at a list of bestsellers, let's say, for example, in the New York Times or anywhere else where you look for the list, you're not going to find the Bible there because it overshadows all the rest. And we have to admit there is an anti-Bible bias, even in the, let's say, in the publishing world as a whole, or maybe you should say in the elite, let's say, literature world, there would be an anti-Bible emphasis. But here's, this article goes on to say, the Harry Potter series, which has enjoyed high volume sales in recent years, is a good example. According to the New Yorker, even books with Harry Potter stature don't compete with the Bible. Not only is the Bible the bestseller of all time, it continues to be the bestseller every year, even when compared to the astounding sales figures of a series like Harry Potter. So if you remember those figures, it's the sales, annual sales of the Bible are so high, 425 million, or it could be as high as 650 million. And listen to this. By comparison, the Harry Potter series, seven books in all, sold only 400 million copies total, and no one expects it to keep pace with the Bible. And so as popular as those books were. Now, in terms of other millions of sales, it's really interesting. Mao's book, and that's Chairman Mao from China, his book of quotations has only sold over 900 million copies. And since 1966, the Quran has really become popular, and it can't even keep pace with the Bible in terms of being sold. So even if you look at American households, it says that 92% of all American households have at least one Bible, but they typically own three. And so what that means is most of the 25 million Bibles are being sold to homes that already have at least one and likely more. So it's like saying, well, I bought Harry Potter number one, and I'm going to go out and buy another Harry Potter number one, and I'm going to go out and buy another one. So it really is. Those are really amazing statistics. Now, one of the big paradoxes, I think, that we want to talk about here is, let's go to my point number two for today's program. There is this paradox. How many people are actually reading the Bibles that they're buying? That's a big question. And we know that America claims to be a Bible-reading nation, but Pew Research has done some polls, and they keep coming up with some very interesting figures. Now, what I have in front of me is I do have, let's see if I can find exactly what the date of this was. I think this is a 2014 poll. So I don't think they do necessarily a Bible reading poll every year. But again, Americans, like I said, they may have as many as four Bibles in their homes. But here's some of the points that they bring out. And here's the number one point. And you can find this online for yourself. It is five facts on how Americans view the Bible and other religious texts. But we're going to focus primarily just on the Bible. So here's their number one big statement about Americans and Bible reading. It says about a third of Americans, or 35%, say they read Scripture at least once a week. So that's only 35% of Americans. So you figure that's just like a third. But it says there's 45% of Americans seldom or never read Scripture. And so here, if America claims to be Bible readers, only a third of Americans are actually reading. And that's from their religious landscape study. And I think we've even done articles. I think I've done articles, that's certainly for it, on thetrumpet.com and in the Philadelphia Trumpet magazine. Now, here's where it really gets interesting. Now, frequency of reading Scripture differs widely among different religious groups. So, in the Jehovah's Witnesses, let's say if the Pew Research took poll of Jehovah's Witnesses, 88% of Jehovah's Witnesses read the Bible every day. In terms of Mormons, now they read the Book of Mormon. 77% of Mormons read the Book of Mormon. Now, in terms of evangelical Protestants, 63% of them say they read the Bible every day. So you've got to look at 40% of evangelical Protestants say, 47% say they don't read the Bible every day. Okay, members of the historically black Protestant churches, it says that only 61% say they read Scripture at least once a week. And then by contrast, 65% of Jews say they seldom or never read Scripture at all. So these are the religious groups, in America. And again, the Old Testament is the Jewish Bible. Now, let's go on to, this next aspect of this poll. And it talks about whether religious people believe the Bible is the Word of God. And the thing is, here it says, three-quarters of Christians say they believe the Bible is the Word of God. So, now, let's compare this number. 8 in 10 Muslims say the Quran is the Word of God. And that's according to this same survey. But it says far fewer Jews, 37% say they view the Torah as the Word of God. So 3/4 of the Christians, or 75%, say they believe the Bible is the Word of God. But in terms of the Jewish people who were actually used by God, and we'll talk about this in a future program, they were actually used by God to preserve the Bible, to be honest, for the Christian world, and they only 37% of Jews believe that Torah is the Word of God. Now, here's another fact, and again, this really gets into, and I want you to just compare this with how many Bibles are sold and how many people buy Bibles. There might be four per household. But here's their next big statement from the survey. It says, Christians who make up a majority of U.S. adults, that's 71% of American adults, and again, this was in 2014. I'm sure the number has declined since then. That's 3 years ago. But the Christians who make up a majority of U.S. adults, that's 71%, are divided over how to interpret the Bible. Now, what this means is 4 in 10 Christians, or 39%, say the Bible's text is the Word of God and should be taken literally. 36% say it should not be interpreted literally or express another or no opinion. A separate 18% of Christians view the Bible as a book written by men, not God. Okay, here's another big statement on this survey. In 2014, about 4 in 10 Christians, or 42%, said reading the Bible or other religious materials is an essential part of what being Christian means to them personally. So that's less than half of Christians believe that Bible reading is important to them, to their life as a Christian. An additional 30% say reading the Bible is important, but not essential to being a Christian. And 21% said that reading the Bible is not an important part of their Christian identity. Now, to me, that's just shocking. Here's the last big statement. 7 in 10 Americans, or 71%, know the Bible teaches that Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And so essentially what Pew is driving is that not everybody really knows the facts even in the Bible. And so, but at least 71% knew that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The survey goes on to say a similar share know that Moses was the biblical figure who led the Exodus from Egypt. 63% could identify Genesis as the first book of the Bible. But fewer than half adults could name all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And only 4 in 10 identify Job as the biblical figure known for remaining obedient to God despite his extraordinary suffering. So even the people that do believe in the Bible don't necessarily know all the facts of the Bible, or I should say maybe the people that believe the Bible is necessary for their Christian religion. So with that, we're already running out of time for this program. So I would very much like to hear what you have to say about our Summer of Classics series. Now, next time we'll get into more about why the King James Bible is important and even how the Bible is organized. So please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter @JBLiterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. Remember, you can leave me a comment at Facebook. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.